Hi, this is Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and I'm here with another episode of my online success cast, where I get the pleasure and the honor of talking to people who are making a great living while making the web and the world a better place. And today, I have somebody that I've crossed paths with online for quite a while, but we just finally connected at NAMMS in Atlanta, and this person that is on the call with me is very smart, very bright, and I am so excited to have her with me today. And it is Shelly Hitz. Shelly Hitz is an award-winning and internationally best-selling author. She is the owner of TrainingAuthors.com and is passionate about helping authors succeed in writing, publishing, and marketing their books. She teaches from personal experience. Shelly has been writing and publishing books since 2008 and has published over 30 books, including print, ebooks, and audiobook formats. Oh, Shelly, I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for having me, Nicole.
Of course. And I forgot to mention that Shelly is also going to be one of our Beachpreneurs, which I'm really, really excited about. She signed up for the Beachpreneur Retreat in October, so we get to spend the weekend together on beautiful Pensacola Beach for our Ladies Mastermind Retreat.
I know. I can't wait. I have it on my calendar in my office staring at me every day so I can get excited.
Well, I don't need it staring at me. I am excited. It's going to be an amazing group. I love that we've got a lot of returning people that will, you know, be able to bring in the new people. So it's not all the same crowd. So new people like you don't have to feel intimidated coming in, because we've got lots of new people too. So it's going to be a really good blend. I'm excited for it. Okay, well, enough about that. Why don't you start by telling us about your business and how it got started so that the people listening can start to get to know who is Shelly and why should I keep listening? Because you're awesome.
You know, I first started my online business over a decade ago, and when I say that, it sounds like a long time, but, you know, I started my first website, and at the time, I stumbled across a company, you may be familiar with them, called SiteSell. And I started my first website using their hosting, SiteBuildIt. And that was my learning ground. I look back at that website, and it was really what was used in my life to really teach me a lot of the basics. And I made a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of things wrong, but I learned so much. And that website was about exercise. And I have a background in physical therapy. I practiced for 12 years. And so I was using my expertise, and I was, you know, in a certain niche, and I was making, you know, money. I was $500 to $800 a month. A lot of it was AdSense, but then I decided that wasn't my passion, really. And so I sold that site, and it was great. I mean, I sold that site for maybe like, I think it was $8,500. So that, you know, education that I got ended up being something that I profited from for years, and once I was able to sell it. So that was really cool. But then I just went into different things, and my career as a physical therapist, I loved it. I was able to help people. It was rewarding. But at the time, my husband was traveling all the time. He was a speaker full-time, and we didn't get to see each other a lot. And I am a people person. I wanted to be with my husband, you know, and I didn't like living alone most of the time when he was traveling. And then I started speaking with him in 2007. And I would speak and travel on the weekends. I would take vacation to do work, you know, basically to travel and speak. And we realized that I just wanted more flexibility with my job. And so I really started increasing my efforts online to see if I would be able to replace my income. And in 2011, I resigned my physical therapy job. And so I've been full-time online since then. And we thought that speaking was going to be the primary thing that was going to, you know, fuel our income. And then the economy crashed, or, you know, it just went down. And a lot of our speaking engagements were in private high schools. And those private Christian high schools were really hit hard with the economy. So they weren't inviting a lot of paid speakers then. And so I had all this free time because I'd quit my job. We were actually traveling in an RV for a while full time, which was a whole other story. But
fun.
Yeah. And so we, and at that time we're actually in Florida, not too far from you, but we were like, what do we do now? And I had all this time and I had already published a few books as resources to have at speaking events. But that year, 2012, just launched my publishing career because I had the time. And so I started writing book after book and learned so much in the process. I already had the online marketing side of things, and then I learned the publishing side and the specifics to book marketing. And so I just really enjoyed it. It was ended up being a big part of our income. And then from that, I have this just passion to share what I've learned. And so that's where the Training Authors website was birthed, is just to teach authors what I learned and what I continue to learn. And it's really just been an interesting ride.
Oh, I bet. Isn't it funny how every story has commonalities, but so many differences? You must really love your husband, is all I want to say. If you can live in an RV with him.
Well,
fine, but I don't know how we'd survive an RV for very long.
Let's just say we only lived in it for 3.5 months, and then we moved to Colorado. And
it was a good test of your marriage.
Yeah, and it was a good experience. It was the dream my husband always had. And then we realized it just wasn't functional for us. And even I thought, I can, you know, run my business from the RV, but it was harder than I thought. You know, the Wi-Fi signals weren't always as good. And, you know, I had the you know, internet through my phone, but it didn't always work. And it was just, it was an interesting time, but I'm so glad we did it. You know, we won't ever look back and say, I wish I would have done this or have regrets. You know, we did it.
Right.
And we, you know, we experienced it and we realized that's probably not for us right now.
I think that's great. I'm always up for an adventure. I think, you know, regrets are one of the worst things you can have at the end of your life.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Even if it's an experience where you go, well, that was not fun. not in your case, but I mean in general, in an adventure, then at least you did it and you know.
Yes, I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. You know, I want to be able, when I'm old and looking back on my life, I want to be able to say I don't have any regrets. You know, quitting my PT job was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. And it really took a step of faith, you know, and we were making money online and we were, you know, making money speaking and, you know, we had other income, but it was scary. But looking back, I will never be able to say, what if? You know, like, what right. if I would have taken that leap? What if I would have taken that risk? What if? And we all have those times in our business where we, you know, we're faced with something that's a risk, that it's going to take a little bit of a leap. It's going to take a little bit of faith. And it's like, you know, okay, are we really going to do this or not? And I just encourage people to do it, because that way, you know, you will be able to look back and never have any regrets.
Excellent advice. So, moving on to business, what are the top three things you've done to grow your online business, Shelley?
Well, for the first few years, you know, everyone was saying, the money's in the list, the money's in the list. And I just didn't really focus on an email list. I was doing other things. And, you know, at that time, it was Google AdSense, and I was doing affiliate marketing. And finally, it hit a chord with me. I think it was a course I took by Jason Fladlin I think it was his course. And finally it clicked. I need to build my email list, and not just an email list, but a personality driven email list that is relational and that connects with those who follow me. And I kind of followed the formula that was laid out in that course that I took. And that was what was one of the turning points for my business, was really focusing on my email list. And if you sign up for my author email list, one of the first emails that goes out is, you know, my successes and failures in my journey to best-selling author. And so I'm very transparent. And, you know, I don't share everything, but I share some of the things that went, you know, really good, but some of the things that went wrong. And I found that it really bonds people to me, because they get to hear about me and they get to know more than just a name or, you know, just somebody that they downloaded something from. And years later, I will have people bring up things that they read in that bio that I share. And they'll be like, yeah, and you did this and you did that. And I'm like, wow. But that was, you know, definitely. I mean, I know everyone says it, but that was definitely a turning point for me.
I would agree. Well, having your list makes everything else so much easier. I mean, even your Google AdSense, that was one of the things I figured out when I first came on, was my AdSense income increased after I built my list. And I went, oh, of course, because every time I send out a mailing to send someone to a page that has AdSense on it, there's more traffic. It makes sense now.
Exactly.
Affiliate marketing increased. You know, everything increased. It was like, wow, this list thing is pretty amazing.
And it is, yeah. And, you know, I think the other thing that I just did, and I didn't realize until later what exactly I was doing, but I was just, I just offered a lot of helpful content and resources. I'm a resource person. So lists of resources and things that, you know, people can download, and a lot of free videos and tutorials and blog posts. And I was reading something the other day, and they said what it is it's called the power of, I can never say it, reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the power of reciprocity. When you give and give and give, then people are like, man, you know, I want to, you know, give back. And so I think, you know, you have to balance it. But I think that was one of the things that, you know, has helped to make my business successful. And then finally, I think the third thing that I would mention is I have just written and published a lot of books. And so it gets my name out there in the different genres that I have published. And currently I have 33. And between my husband and I and the other people that we have published through our independent publishing company, we have over 50 books. But, you know, I think just having books out there in a series and being able to, you know, have just the amount of books that I have, that's been definitely part of my success.
Excellent. So focusing on your list, offering a lot of valuable content and resources, and writing a lot of books. Those are your three things that you'd say grew your business?
I would.
I think those are three good things. All right, so moving along, what are three of the tools that you couldn't live without in your business? And if you have three free ones and three paid ones, that would be awesome, because people love this part of the call because they always find new fun things to use, or they get affirmation that the tools they're using are good ones.
Yes, I love tools, and I'm always interested in finding out, you know, what works and what doesn't. And one of my favorite free tools recently that I've been using is Canva. Have you been using Canva?
Is it Canva?
Yes, canva.com, and it's a graphic editing tool online. But one of the reasons I love this, you can actually create Kindle ebook covers with their templates, because they give you templates. So they give you a template for a Facebook post, a template for a Facebook ad, a template for a Twitter post, a template for a blog post, a template for PowerPoint slide, a template for, you know, and then they have all these templates that you can choose from. That I am such a template person, and I think you probably are, Nicole, too. But if you have a template, you have something to start with instead of just looking at a blank page, you know, or a blank, you know, picture of like, okay, what font should I use? What color should I use? You know?
Exactly.
And so Canva is a really cool graphic editing tool, and it's free. I mean, there are some images you can pay for that are, I think, a dollar or whatever. But that was a really cool tool, a tool that I think probably a lot of people already know about, but that I just definitely cannot live without, is Dropbox. And I use it every single day in my business. And I have several different partners and projects that I work on, and it just helps me to keep everything straight. And it's a backup too for those things. So Dropbox definitely. And it was a toss up. Can I share four instead of three?
I will let you.
One, you know, another tool that I use all the time that a lot of people are probably familiar with is Hootsuite. It's a social media management tool, and it does have a free option and a way to upgrade. But then the fourth one that I really have, you know, this year has really changed my business, and I am loving it, is FreeMind. It's the mind mapping software, and I just love it. For me, I know we talked about this at NAMS, and I know you're a little bit different in how you see things and how your brain works, but for me, my brain fits mind mapping. Like, it has helped me get unstuck so many times, and it has really helped me to be more productive. So, you know, I would say that those are the free tools. For the paid.
Hold on just a second. I want to back up to the free mind so I can clue in everybody else about our conversation that we had.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, FreeMind is, as you said, a mind mapping software, and it's a free one that you can use to graphically map things out. And where Shelley and I were having this conversation, or when Shelley and I were having this conversation, I mentioned that I don't do well to sit in front of the computer to mind map. So what I do is I take a pen and paper and I doodle my mind maps with bubbles and squares and squiggles and all kinds of stuff. And then if I want to put it into the computer to get organized and to have it in there, then I'll either scan it and send it to my VA or give it to my son and have him in put it in, or I'll sit and do it. But I have to have a pen and paper when I brainstorm. But then FreeMind is a great way to organize that and keep it, you know, in a way where you can communicate with other people.
And I think that's a great tip, because a lot of people, you know, and I use pen and paper too sometimes, and then sending that to your VA, that's a great tip, because then they can do the work of getting it all organized and in there.
Yes. And sometimes we actually sell mind maps, like at Coach Glue. We'll create mind maps and sell them with our packages. So if we do it that way, then I'll scribble, you know, my circles on the paper and then hand it off to somebody to import it, or not import it, input it into a mind mapping program so that other people don't have to read my writing and see all the little daisies and smiley faces all over the paper. Okay, moving along to paid tools. What are some tools that you are happy to pay for because they make a difference in your business?
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and of course, there's a lot of different things that I use. One of the ones that I found out from you, Nicole, was RoboForm. I remember I was on your blog one day, and you did a tutorial about RoboForm, and you showed how much it saved your time and all of this. And I don't know if you still use it or if you've, you know, used something else now, but I could not live without RoboForm.
Yes, I have to have, well, it's a security thing. I mean, it's a way to protect your business, because without a program like RoboForm, or I'm actually using LastPass now, you have to have passwords that you can remember. And if you can remember them, then it's not safe, or you're using them on multiple sites. So if one site gets hacked and the bad guys get a hold of your username and password for that site, and you're using it also on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, then all of a sudden they're in your business account, or your, you know, heaven forbid, your hosting or your autoresponder. They're spamming people. You know, you have to be very, very careful. So definitely RoboForm or LastPass, I encourage everybody, all my coaching clients, you know, anybody I can get a hold of. You know, at the Beachpreneur's house, that was the first thing we did is, wait a second, anybody that does not have LastPass on your computer, upstairs with me right now, we're installing it. Because it's ridiculous, you know, when you're saying, okay, log into your blog, and then people are going, okay, I have to find my password for that. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is not productive. This is not the way you run a business. You guys, upstairs with me, we're installing it now. Everybody else can stay down here and work with Kelly.
Yeah, and it's amazing how many people don't have it. I was talking to some authors recently that don't use it, and they are doing exactly what you said. And I used to do it years ago as well, you know, using a similar password for a lot of their logins. And I immediately said the same thing. I was like, you guys, you need to get something, you know, to where you are having more security for that, because that's really it is kind of scary, but it is just important to protect your business. And also, it has just saved so much time. So,
oh, definitely. The inefficiency of having to go and find your passwords every time you go to log into a site is, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you could get so much more done and in less time and have more time to spend, you know, going to the gym, going on a walk with your kids. I mean, that's just, it's really, really, it's a step one for people. And you guys listening, if you don't have it, go to the show notes, and I will have some information on there for you for how it works and where you can sign up.
Yeah, and then I think I was just thinking of the different things that I use all the time. And the other two are things that I use to create products in my business, but also that I use for interviews. I use just all the time for my coaching, my one-on-one coaching, and that's my Blue Yeti mic and Camtasia. I use them all the time. Like even when I do one-on-one coaching calls, I'll do them through Skype, but then I'll do screen share and I will record the whole thing with Camtasia using my Blue Yeti mic as well. And then I'm able to give that to my coaching clients. They can review it. They can, you know, look at it. They can go back if there was anything they were confused about, and it adds more value, but I'm able to do videos. Right now I'm using my Blue Yeti mic on this podcast. And so it just really is something, you know, those two tools are things that I use all the time.
Excellent. 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 All right. So what's one mistake that you've made in the past in your business that you've learned from?
I am a typical entrepreneur, and like you, Nicole, like probably most people that have their own business, I always have ideas. And so I was really spreading myself too thin, and I was trying to do everything. Like when I would get an idea, I would think that I would need to implement it. And so I was just having all of these different things. And last year I paid for one-on-one coaching, and that was the first thing they said. They're like, you're doing all of these things. I'm like, yeah. You know, I think sometimes when you're just doing it, you don't always know. And then when you have someone outside looking in and they're like, you know, it's kind of like someone that comes into your house and you don't see the dust on the, you know, the railings around, and, you know, and then it's like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the ceiling fans.
Those
always get me.
And so I realized what I was doing is they were all good things. And I had the abilities and skills and the talent to do all of them, but I was not doing any of them really, really awesome. And so what I was doing is I was just spreading myself out too thin. So last year, and I love the advice that you give, and it just has been something that's been rolling in my mind over and over this last year, and it's that READ acronym, ruminate, eliminate, automate, delegate. And last year was a year of eliminate.
Good.
Because I was doing too much, and that was my mistake. Instead of really focusing, I think, you know, and what my coach had told me is like, Shelly, once you grow this one thing to where it's profitable, it's successful, you know, you're having other people handle it, then start adding in some other things. But until that one thing is really successful, really profitable, to do everything is just to, you know, not get the best out of you. And so I've really learned the hard way. It was painful. Like I am an emotional person, and like I was like, you know, shutting down websites and things, and I would literally cry. Like I was so sad. Like this was like time and energy and effort, and I was, you know, not renewing domains, and I was, you know, I retired an entire book series because it was just the books needed updated, and either I needed to do a lot of work to them or I needed to let it go. And so there was just a lot of letting go, but you know what? It has been so freeing. And now I'm at that point where my business is now starting to take off. And because I focused in on training authors on how to help authors write, publish, and market their books. That was the one thing that I was really focusing on, and it's now really starting to take off, and it's amazing how it really does work, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's a reminder that I can't hear too often myself. You know, I talk to my coaching clients, and I'm like, okay, you're spread too thin, and then I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, okay, you're spread too thin,
yeah,
too, Dean. Yeah, so we all, I mean, it's a constant thing. You know, I'll go through and I'll hack off big parts of my business, you know, let go of things. And then I find, you know, 6 months later, I'm looking at myself again going, I got to do this again. This is not something you do once. It's something that you have to keep doing, keep reassessing on a continual basis and evaluating and navigating.
Yes, and I think it's really good, you know, at least once a year, if not twice, to really do that with your business. And that was something that was, you know, recommended to me recently, is just creating that space, you know, to really think and plan and, you know, look and evaluate with your business. And I think sometimes we're just so busy doing things, we don't always take the time and the space to really evaluate. But when I've done that, it's been so powerful, because then I can really hone in again, like you said, on what is most effective and what's dragging me down.
Well, I find that, especially with entrepreneurs and especially online entrepreneurs like us, we don't have that quiet time for our brains. I mean, unless you're in the shower, and even then in the shower, a lot of people are listening to podcasts. So, you know, if you go on a walk, leave your phone at home. Just let your brain process some stuff. Give it a break. You know, it helps so much. You're like I said, I'll go sit in back with in the hammock and with pen and paper and just no phone, no iPad, no nothing, and just start, you know, figuring out what I need to do next and reevaluating, reassessing, and, you know, planning for growth. And if I don't get away from technology, I don't do that as efficiently. And I know that people, you know, have their phones on them all the time. And even when they're going on a bike ride or a walk or, you know, even,
right,
in the shower, even on the toilet, you know, it's hard to separate from that. But it's really, really necessary. When I drive my car, I rarely have the radio on because that's just my time where I'm like, okay, give my brain a break, let things process, get away from technology, and it really works very well. A lot of times, that's my sanity.
Yes.
Whereas if I get in the car, turn on the radio, then the whole way down, it's just more noise and more processing, more filtering. You've got to give it a break, I think, at least. The way my brain works, I have to.
Yes, I think it just makes it so much more effective. And my husband is a really good runner, and so he does a lot of running, and he's kind of, I've gotten into it to do stuff with him. And this year was a big year where I did a lot of competing and just tried to really push myself to a new level. And you know, I don't love running, but what I realized is that when I take that break from my computer, first of all, I'm getting blood flow. Second of all, it's good for my health. But I realized how valuable those times were for my business. I get so many great ideas when I'm out on my runs, and it's, my husband's like, you're getting more blood flow to your brain. I'm like, yeah, but I'm also clearing out space. I mean, it's just space that I'm not doing anything else and my brain's free to wander. So I actually usually do have my phone with me, but it's just to take notes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll actually stop and take a note real quick so I don't lose the idea, but it is amazing. So I'm like, you know, even if I don't continue to compete at the level that I have been, I just need to get out and walk or run and hike and that sort of thing just to create that space. But it is powerful.
Absolutely. It's one of the best things I do for my business personally is to get away from my business, get away from technology, which is funny because, you know, I always say I do my best thinking when I'm not in front of my computer, which, what does that say about my business? But it is what it is. But I think embracing that and accepting that really does help a lot. Like just going to the beach. I leave mm-hmm. my phone in my car. I want to go to the beach. I want to walk the beach. I want to experience things. There's nothing that can't wait an hour. You know, I always say, if there's an emergency, don't call me, call 911 because
yeah.
I'm not a doctor, you know, and then call me, but, you know, get it taken care of. And then as soon as I'm available, I'll get the call and be there. But yeah, so anyway, that was a tangent, but I think it's an important one. At least in my experience, it's been game changing for me. I just know that I'm healthier, more balanced, and a better wife, mom, and I make more money if I just get away from the computer a lot. You know, I can sit here for 6 hours, but I'm not going to be as productive as if I sit here for 2 hours and take breaks in between, you know, set a timer, get away, let my brain catch up, you know, and then come back.
Exactly.
So would you say there's a tipping point that got you to success? And if so, what would you say that was?
You know, when I look back, there was a definite tipping point, I believe. And, you know, I had been chugging along and, you know, just doing a lot of work, you know. And I am a hard worker. And I would work sometimes 12 and 14 hour days. And yet I was doing, like I said, I was doing too many things. And I was working really, really hard. And we were making an income, but I wasn't being real effective. And what happened was a health crisis. And it was because I was working so much and I had changed careers. And so I was sitting at a computer for the first time all day, every day. And my body's like, what are you doing to me? And my arms started hurting. I started getting numbness and tingling. I started getting this cyst come out in my wrist again. I've already had surgery on it once for a ganglion cyst and it started to come back. And all of a sudden I'm like, whoa. What am I doing? You know, this isn't worth losing my health over, you know? And right. Around the same time was when I hired, you know, a one-on-one coach. And so it was those two things combined together that really brought that tipping point of, I don't need to work 12 and 14 hours a day. And, you know, I can really be more effective with the time that I do spend and be able to be nice to my body so that I can do this long term. You know, if we really want to do this long term, we have to think about our health, you know, and our bodies. And so I had to actually take an entire month off, and it was hard. It was almost like going through withdrawal, you know, because I guess, you know, I say sometimes that, you know, I can be a workaholic. And so I didn't know what to do with myself. And it was such a good thing, though, because it really brought that turning point to where I was able to gain focus and really be more efficient and effective in the time that I have. And a book that I really like, I don't know if you've read it or not, it's called Essentialism. And it talks about making the most important thing, the essential thing, the things that you work on. So like having your power hour, I've heard some people call it, or, you know, having those really profit driven times and doing those types of things and really evaluating, you know, on a daily basis, what are the most important things for me to focus on? I mean, it was just such a turning point, but unfortunately I had to go through a health crisis and I had to, you know, go through some hard times to get, you know, that transformation in my business and in my thinking. But I'm thankful looking back and I'm on a new path.
That's wonderful. It's a very common story, because not only are we passionate about our businesses, but they're tied into how we feel about ourselves. You know, as your business goes down, you go down. As your business goes up, you go up. And it's an addictive thing. I mean, it really is. And you want to be pouring time into it because you love it. You're passionate about it. But, you know, what? Like I always say in my keynote, I gave a keynote up at in Toronto, and I said, it's hard to make money if you're blank. And everyone said, sick. And I said, no, dead. It's hard to make money if you're dead. And they're all like, okay.
I'm
with you on that one. It's kind of like exercise, though, too, isn't it? I mean, if you can focus in on exercising efficiently for a half hour to an hour every day, then you don't have to be at the gym 3 hours a day.
Right. Yeah, and some people even say less time than that. You can get a really good workout in 20 minutes, you know. So, yeah, it's so true. And I love being able to have more time freedom. I'm making more money and I'm working less, you know? And it's just like, yes, this is working, you know, this is good. And I'm going to continue to fine tune, and I need to continue to fine tune. But it is just such a relief to not feel like I'm tied to my computer, because I'm a multidimensional person. I have a lot of interests. I'm a relational person. When I'm not, you know, connecting with people face to face in my community, it really gets me down and I get like in this funk. And so when I was working so much and I wasn't, you know, nurturing relationships face to face or, you know, even long distance or with my husband and doing other things that I enjoy, it really brought me down. And so I'm in such a better place. And it's just amazing how sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot. You know, it's just that paradigm shift of like, okay, yes, I can do more with less. Paul Evans recommended the book at NAMS called The One Thing. And I read it after NAMS, and it was it's another really good book just to remind you of this, you know, and I think it's good to revisit this every so often and just remind myself, what is the one thing I can do right now to improve my marriage? What is the one thing I can do right now to, you know, improve my business? What is the one thing I can do that's profitable today, you know, or whatever? And it's just, it just makes sense, but it's so hard to, you know, we get so distracted and follow all the rabbits, you know, down the trails. But, you know, just kind of bringing yourself back in and being able to do it so that you can do more with less.
Excellent. And that's the way it's supposed to work. But, you know, we talk about online success and what success actually means. And it's not just about the dollar signs.
Right.
It really isn't. But dollar signs are fun, too. But you can't make money if you're
dead.
All right. So what advice, wait, before I get into the next question, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com. And my special guest is Shelley Hitz from TrainingAuthors.com. You can find links to get some free stuff from Shelley and all the resources that she mentioned during this call in the show notes at NicoleOnTheNet.com. All right. Next question. What advice would you give to your own mother or sister or best friend to help them succeed online?
Oh, man. You know, I was thinking of this, and there's so many things that go through my mind. And, you know, I was just like, okay, you know, and just all of these things that I could offer advice on or help on. And the one thing that came up to me was what I've already been talking about, is to have someone, you know, once you're, you know, able to afford it, or if you have a job and you're able to put money aside for it, the sooner you can hire a one-on-one coach to help you, somebody that is more successful, someone that's doing what you want to do, someone that has succeeded and has systems and has, you know, is able to share those with you of what works and what doesn't, the sooner you're going to see success. And I wish that I would have hired a one-on-one coach sooner, you know, and yet, you know, sometimes you just think, I know what I'm doing,
right.
You know, and yet having somebody that's already been through it, that already knows, that has resources, that has connections, is just so helpful. And so I was thinking, you know, that would probably be the biggest thing, the takeaway right now. But, you know, I was thinking about as well, like, you know, building an online business, there's so many people out there that are saying, do this and get this quick cash, quick, you know, quick and easy, you know, do this. And yet I think my advice would be, think of it long term. Think of it as a business that you're building for the long term. And the illustration I like to use is about building a house. You know, you want to build a strong foundation, because if you don't have that strong foundation and the storms come and things come, it's going to crumble. And so when you're building an online business, I always recommend just building a strong foundation and then grow from there, because, you know, you want to start with that email list. You want to start, you know, and you want to have those things, you know, when you're starting, that can help you to grow, instead of just thinking, okay, I want to do this and make this quick cash, and I want to do this and, you know, get this. And so that was just something else that I was thinking, as well as another little, you know, another thing that just came up to me is, you know, finding something you're passionate about. When I first started out, I did a website with something I'm knowledgeable about, you know, with the exercise and my physical therapy background. However, my passion, you know, waned, and it really went down quickly. And I soon didn't have a desire. I would just get dread to work on that website. And it would be like, oh, I don't want to. And but yet now, when I've really, you know, been able to focus in on this niche of helping authors, I get excited. I get, you know, I'm just like, yes, there's days where I'm like, you know, I'm not sure that I want to, you know, do this particular task, but I'm excited, you know, and it's rewarding and I really enjoy it. So to be able to find something that you are passionate in for the long term, and that's part of building your foundation, you know, building something that you really feel like you can be passionate in for the long term. And, you know, I know those are just, you know, big picture things, but, you know, that's kind of, you know, I think some things that I would focus in on.
It's a lot of it is not about the technical side of things. It's about what's going on in your head. That has been the hardest part for me over the years. It's not how to do HTML. It's how to get out of my own freaking way all the time, because we've got our own baggage. We all do. So I think that those big picture things are very important, because people need to hear them over and over and over again, which is why I ask the same questions of all of my experts, because I want people to hear, okay, Shelley had problems with this too. Nicole said, you know, this is common, but Shelley struggled with that too. So it's okay that I'm struggling, and it's something I can overcome.
Exactly.
So I think that's huge. Thank you for that. So if you had to rebuild your business from scratch with no list, no contacts, nothing, how would you start tomorrow if you had less than $100 to do it?
Yeah, this is an interesting concept, and, you know, things change and evolve over the years with online marketing, but I just think it's never going to grow out of style to tap into other people's audiences. So if you're building from scratch, one of the best ways to get started is to tap into someone else's audience through, you know, it could be a guest blog tour, it could be like this, you know, podcast interviews, or hosting a virtual event. And I think what I would do is I would probably organize a virtual event. I would gather experts in the area, you know, if it was still with authors, you know, I would gather experts in those areas. If not, if it was a different topic, I would find the experts in those areas. Make it interesting, and, you know, just, you know, something that would make them want to participate, you know, give them some things back in return, and then host this big event to be a list builder and to also, you know, showcase myself as an expert. I actually did this when I first launched my website for authors, and it worked really well. At the time, I was on Facebook marketing, and so I had several, I think it was like maybe six different book marketing experts, and I was really unknown in the field, and I hosted them, and I just used freeconferencing.com. So it didn't cost anything to host these audio calls. And I had an email list. And at the time, I was using AWeber. And so I interviewed these experts. And then I gave them the audio of the call and a transcript of the call that they could use in any way they wanted. So they could, you know, use it and sell it in their business. They could use it as a bonus. And I also, you know, gave them other ways for exposure. And then I sold the calls and transcripts as well. Now it doesn't work as well to sell those as an upsell. But, you know, I just think it's so powerful. You know, if you're starting completely from scratch, if you can find a way to tap into an audience, another way to do that, and that I would probably hook into this, is to do a lot of promotion in social media groups. So like Facebook groups, I find some powerful Facebook groups start offering value, start, you know, offering, you know, comments and likes and interacting. There's Google+ communities that you can do the same thing. There's LinkedIn groups, and then there's group Pinterest boards. So I would find some powerful group boards, some groups on Facebook, some communities, and all of that, and start interacting. And then I would share about these interviews and the things that I'm doing that I'm going to be offering for free in those groups to help gather even more people into the big event. So that's probably what I would do if I was starting over.
Excellent. It goes back to, if you don't have the contacts yet, all you have to do is come up with something irresistible where the other person feels dumb for saying no.
Exactly.
It's such a win-win situation that they are, if they say no, they're going to walk away and go, what did I just say no to? And they're going to come back. So that's in doing, you know, growing my affiliate team and all of that for promoting my products. That's always my goal, is to be able to go to someone and say, okay, here's what I've got for you, and here's why you're going to want to promote, and here's what's in it for you, and have them go, well, I'd be an idiot to say no to that.
Yeah. And when I was first doing this years ago, I I asked one of the experts that was well known and still is, John Kramer. And once he said yes, then I could approach the other experts and say, you know, well, John Kramer is coming on and he's going to be, you know, and,
yep.
You know, and then use that. So, you know, that was another thing that, you know, another thing that you could do is approach some big, you know, key experts in the beginning. And then once they're on board, tell the other people. And it's a little bit of that social peer pressure. Well, if they're going to be involved, you know, and, you know, sharing it with their list too. And so, yeah, it's just so powerful.
Definitely. And you can always go back, you know, invite like 20 big people. And then as soon as one says yes, then go back to the other 19 and say, well, I just wanted to give you another opportunity because this person is on board. And then, and then you've got them.
Exactly.
Okay. So our final question is about what's working right now in your business. So what's something that's working really well in your business that you can share to give others ideas about, you know, what something that you're trying out that just happened to be working for you?
Well, I have one that's like general business based, and then I have one that's based upon, you know, marketing my books. So is it okay if I kind of share something in both realms?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Just generally for my business, what has really been great and is working right now, and you mentioned it at the beginning of the call, Nicole, is going to live events. And going to NAMMS was such a really, I really believe it's going to be a life-changing thing for me, because to meet people face-to-face and then the partnerships that have already formed out of that event, it's just amazing. Like I have, you know, JV partnerships that are coming out at least two or three from the NAMMS event. And it's really, I never knew how powerful it was going to be, but just going to live events and then, you know, networking and the JV partnerships that are forming out of that would be a big thing that's working just in general for my business.
That's how you got this interview.
Exactly. Yeah. And then one more specific to my books is I really, over the years, one thing that I really struggled with, you know, because I have quite a few books and, you know, I'm doing a lot of the work in there. I have my own independent publishing companies, so I'm writing them, publishing, marketing them. And one of the pieces that was just really, really difficult for me was getting book reviews. And, you know, especially to seed, you know, I usually like to get 10 to 15 before I really launch and I really promote like a free promotion or I do a book launch or something like that. So I want to at least have that first 10 to 15. And I was working really, really hard to get those first 10 to 15 reviews. Now, there's research that shows book reviews and, you know, online reviews of products do help sell products. I think the statistic was 90% of people said that positive reviews impact their online buying decision, and 86% said that negative reviews impacted their buying decisions. And I don't know about you, but when I go to Amazon, I'm looking to buy a product, I go to look at the negative reviews. I'm looking to see, does the product last? Did it break right away? What did they not like? Is it, you know, is there anything that's kind of a, you know, defective flaw in the design? And same thing with books, you know, I look at the reviews and it will give me a lot of insight. So I mean, it does affect buying decisions and it gives that social proof. But anyway, so I was just going through this process and realized that big publishers were having their own book review programs. And I was looking at their programs. I was like, man, wouldn't it be great if we could do something similar, you know, as a smaller publishing company and, you know, just smaller authors. And so I just started brainstorming and came up with a system to create my own book review list. And it's the same thing as the power of an email list. However, this list is specific to people who agree that they like your books, they want to read your books in exchange for a free copy, and you know they're willing to post it within a certain amount of time and everything. So it has been so powerful. I'll send out one email about a new book, and I'm fairly prolific. So, you know, I have books coming out a lot, and I'll send out an email, and then, you know, within days or, you know, within a couple weeks, I have anywhere from 10 to 35 reviews for that book before I'm getting, you know, before I do my big launch or a free KDP promo or something like that. And it has just been so powerful. So, and it took off so much stress. And it took off so much, like, just running around in time and trying to figure out how to do this. And so that was just something that has really been working with, you know, my books.
That's really cool. I mean, that's really super cool. And you're actually selling your review system now, right? So I can have a link to that in the show notes?
Yeah, I have, like, we put together all the templates and, you know, just the trial and error, just figuring out what works and what doesn't. And just really just lay it out step by step. And I had this idea for probably a year and a half or so. And I was just like, I have to get this out of my head and onto paper because I know it will help authors. I mean, I just know it will because it has helped me so much. And it's just lifted such a burden. You know, if you publish a lot of books and if you have books already published, you know, it can definitely help you. So yes, I'm selling that now.
Excellent. I love it. That is very cool. Well, Shelley, we're at the end. Is there anything else that you wanted to say to wrap up about your success journey or anything that comes to mind? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I just wanted to give you the opportunity.
Yeah, I've been through a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, I share in my bio that my husband and I at one point were over $70,000 in debt. And we were able to become debt free. And that's when we were able to get debt free was when I was able to quit my PT job. So I just want to encourage anyone that feels overwhelmed. Like if you just feel like, oh, there's just this big, huge mountain of debt in front of me, or there's this big, huge mountain of obstacles in front of me, I just encourage you to keep taking one step at a time. I just finished one of the hardest things physically that I've ever done in my life and that I may ever do in my life was the race, the half marathon that goes from the bottom to the top of Pikes Peak here in Colorado Wow. Springs. And I thought that many times that I wasn't going to be able to do it. There's a cutoff time. You have to finish it in a certain amount of time. And it's just taking one step in front of another. And it was such a vivid image for me of my journey and my life so far. You know, there was just so many obstacles in my path, so many things that just loomed, and I thought it was just going to be impossible. And yet by just taking one step at a time and keep doing the next thing, I'm now where I'm at today, and I am so thankful that I never gave up.
That's wonderful. Well, guys, you've been listening to me, Nicole Dean, from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and my special guest, Shelley Hitz, from TrainingAuthors.com. Be sure to check out the show notes at NicoleOnTheNet. I've got links to everything that we talked about today on there. If you loved listening to Shelley, be sure to check out her stuff. I'll have links to some free things from her and that book review system. And be sure to leave us a review at iTunes. I'd really, really appreciate it so much. And some comments on the blog, too, so Shelley knows, you know, what she said that influenced you and what you liked most about the interview. Well, Shelley, thank you so much for being on. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? You are a rock star.
Thank you so much for having me, Nicole. It's such a privilege.
And I can't wait to see you at Beachpreneurs. And listeners, thanks for hanging into the end. I hope you've enjoyed this call, and you are a rock star, too. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.